Next up, we have my law partner, Kennan Wooten. And Kennan is, I'm sure all y'all know her. She has been everywhere. She has done everything. She continues to do everything. She is started out her career. She was a law clerk at a law school for then Chief Justice Wallace Jefferson. She served as the rules attorney for the Texas Supreme Court. She is currently the chair of the State Bar Board of Directors. And in the realm of someone who's well-rounded and does everything, she's also on the board of the Texas Folklife and Austin Friends of Traditional Music, and comes from a family of fiddle players. And Kennan is going to do the procedure update today, for which she's well-qualified because she's on the Supreme Court Advisory Committee, because of course she is.
Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to be with you today to give you a procedure update focusing specifically on recent developments in procedural rules that may impact your appellate practice. And because most appellate practitioners are not simply in appellate courts, but instead spend quite a bit of time in trial courts, what I'm going to do today, as I have done in the paper, is give a pretty broad brush, focusing on rules that have been amended or promulgated anew by the Supreme Court of Texas over the last 1.5 years and affect your procedural practice potentially. It's a lot of substance, so we're not going to go into a lot of depth on all of these various rules, but in your paper, you'll see that there are attachments A through K. Those are the administrative orders containing all of the rule changes that I'm going to talk about today. So if you want to look at those and study them in your own time, they are there for your review. If you have insomnia, there are a lot of good potential uses for these. So anytime I give an update on procedural rules coming out of the Supreme Court of Texas, I like to start with just a primer on the rulemaking process so that everybody understands how it works and also how you can get involved with it if you choose to do so. So when I think about the Supreme Court's rulemaking process, I really think about it as a team effort. Why do I say that? It's not just the nine justices sitting around the conference room table crafting rule content. Instead, there are a lot of volunteers involved with the rulemaking process in Texas. Obviously, the buck stops with the court, but a lot of people are involved along the way. We have, for example, the dedicated rules attorney at the Supreme Court of Texas who assists the court with promulgating and amending rules. There's also the Supreme Court Advisory Committee that's been around since 1940, has people from all over the state. As its name indicates, it advises the court on rule-related matters. There are standing state bar committees, including the Administration of Rules of Evidence Committee and the Court Rules Committee, that get involved with the process. And sometimes task forces are formed by the Supreme Court to assist with rulemaking. For example, when it's a kind of unique area of law where specialized expertise or experience may be useful. And in addition to all of that, we have the bar. Anyone in the bar can take part by submitting comments on rules that are put out for comment. You can also, as a regular person, member of the public, pick up the phone, call the court, express your concern about some procedural issues. And that can lead to rule changes. That, in fact, happened when I was the rules attorney. A woman who was not an attorney had a bad experience in a case, and that led to a rule change. So anybody can take part in this process. What I'm going to do very briefly is ask you in the audience to raise your hand if you are or have ever been on the Supreme Court Advisory Committee, if you have ever been on a state bar standing committee looking at rules, if you've ever been on a rules committee with the appellate section of the State Bar of Texas, if you've ever submitted public comments to the court about proposed rules. So as you can see here, this is really driven by a lot of people in our state, and I wanted to highlight that to say that I can tell you from my experience at the court as rules attorney, I was grateful for the team effort because it makes the rules better. And I just want to emphasize that this is not something we can't be a part of. We can all take part in it. So what leads to rule changes at the court? It can be a lot of different things. Legislative mandates is certainly one of those. And I'll just show you a little demonstrative. This is a recent referral letter here on my right from Chief Justice Heck to the Supreme Court Advisory Committee for that committee to look at potential rule changes stemming from the recent legislative session. So there is a lot that comes from the legislature and leads to rules. It can also just be perceived need. For example, we have case law that tells us we need to change the rules. We have confusion, et cetera.